This episode of the Texas Beer Experience Podcast is brought to you by Galveston Island Brewing. Visit Galveston Island Brewing at their taproom on Galveston Island or online at www.galvestonislandbrewing.com. Grab yourself a cold beer and get ready to enjoy the official beer podcast of the state of Texas. Welcome to the Texas Beer Experience Podcast, dedicated to all the great things about Texas craft beer. And I am your host, Leo Longoria. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Texas Beer Experience Podcast. This is episode 32. I can't believe we've actually made it this far. 32. It's like Sweet 16 times 2. And we made a little road trip today. We don't often get to make road trips, but I've been looking forward to this one for a while. So we drove up to Brenham, which is not very far from Houston. Maybe it was actually from where I stopped today, where I started today, it was 53 minutes, like just in Cyprus. But if I'm coming from my house, it's almost 2 hours. But I've been coming to Brazos Valley for years and just have seen these guys start off really small and like one of the tightest production areas I've ever seen in my life, to a really beautiful brewery that you guys have been in here for what, almost going on 2 years now?
Yeah, a little over 2 years, I think.
Little over 2 years.
It was summer 2019 that we moved the production facility over.
That's right. And the voice you just heard, that's owner and founder Josh Bass.
That's correct.
And we're also joined today by another Josh.
Yep.
Josh Kahanek. He is a sales manager.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
sales manager here at Brazos Valley. And you guys are also known for having a lot of Joshes.
We like to hire within our name group.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So we like to hire Davids because that's another business partner of mine, and Jeremy's my brother's name. So Josh, Jeremy, David, Nelsons are all welcome to apply.
And all the Joshers are cool. I haven't met many of the Jeremys, but the Joshers are super cool.
You're in good company.
Yeah.
You're fine.
That might be a tell, because we've had a few Jeremys, hopefully they're not listening to the podcast, rotate through the brewery.
Okay, all right.
We still have Joshes on staff, but we don't have any Jeremys on staff, so.
And there, I heard that there's a Zach on staff, too.
There is a Zach
on staff. Is it just the one Zach?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just one right just. Now. He's all right. We'll interview some more Zachs if need be.
All right. More Zachs. So, Josh, I don't know if you remember one of the times, I think one of the first few times that we actually got to interact was when I was at Spindletap, and we did this crazy event called Mead Sweats.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That sounds great.
And, oh, my gosh. So, like, me and a couple buddies thought this up. It was like, oh man, you know, it'd be cool to raise money for the Texas Craft Brewers Guild. We could do a barbecue cook-off where we ask other breweries to make brisket, and the money that we raised went to the Texas Craft Brewers Guild. There was one thing I learned that day, and I don't think you guys were in that group, because there was a few briskets that were really good. Mm-hmm. And then were some of them that were not great. And I was telling people, we learned that day that brewers are really good at making beer, not so much at making brisket.
You know, that event was pretty cool. When we saw the invite come out, we were like, this sounds awesome. We can go to Spindletap, bring a smoker, and smoke a brisket at Spindletap and hang out.
And it was like an overnight thing. You guys got there early the day before. We all hung out. It was a good time.
We were like, man, there's going to be like tons of breweries all hanging out, smoking briskets together. And we got there, and you guys are like, oh, hey, you're the only brewery that showed up. Like, really? We were super excited. We're like, wait a second. We can camp out overnight at Spindletap and smoke a brisket and hang out? That sounds like a blast.
I know, right?
And it was a blast.
We had so much fun. That was a good time. And it was the other Josh that made the brisket. And
yeah, Josh J.
Josh J. Yeah, good dude. And I think he works for a barbecue company now, right?
He works for LJ's Barbecue here
LJ's.
In town.
LJ's made the top 50 in the Texas Monthly this year, correct?
That's right.
Man, they made some good stuff.
For that event, we brought a brisket from them as a ringer in case ours was terrible. So we had two briskets.
Did you really? Yeah. See? Yeah. Man, I'm glad I brought that up. I had no idea.
Yeah, we smoked one that night, and who knows how well that turned out. But we also had one from them that they smoked the day before.
Yeah? So I got to know. We served them both. Well, but which one did you submit for judging?
I can't remember because we stayed up all night long.
Yeah.
Then I drove home at like 5 a.m., slept for an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe two. We were back up there at like 10. So.
You drove home? Drove home and came back?
Yep.
Man, that's why I didn't say 2 hours. That was a 2 hour drive right there.
Well, I was in Cyprus, so it wasn't too bad.
Oh, you were in Cyprus.
Yeah. Wasn't
too
bad.
Gotcha.
If Josh J was involved, it was a good brisket.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I've had several of the things that Josh has pulled off a smoker, and he's a very talented individual for sure.
He came into the tap room last week when we were all here.
Yeah.
And he smelled so good, I almost kissed him.
He definitely smells like barbecue every time he walks through the door.
That's not a bad thing,
it's
man.
Too great.
It's not a bad thing. I love doing stuff in the backyard all the time, too. And yeah, man, that's some good stuff. So,
is that the new hazy? Can I get one of those?
So we have beer. And also, I've been toying with the idea of doing video. So we're actually recording video right now. And I recorded a little bit of video a few weeks ago when we were over at Elderson, and the phone, like, or the camera I was using, just it crapped out on me. So we're hoping it doesn't crap out today, and we'll have the full episode. It'll go up on YouTube and IGTV. We're going to take our first quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk beer. If you're watching the video, you'll see that we have several beers on the table. We have some cans. And yeah, we'll talk everything beer in Brazos Valley. So stay tuned with Josh Bass and Josh Kahanek. Cheers. Have you visited Galveston Island Brewing? Take a trip to the island and experience the laid-back atmosphere and award-winning craft beer like Tiki Wheat, Citra Mellow IPA, and Hefene Hefeweizen. Enjoy the cozy tap room or the island-style beer garden and patio with plenty of shade and a playground for the kids. Be sure to check out the online calendar for live music and food truck schedules, and come by on Saturday for the free weekly brewery tour at 1 p.m. So gather your friends and join Galveston Island Brewing for some fun in the sun. Follow the Texas Beer Experience blog and podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Did you miss an episode? All episodes are available on all the major podcast platforms and even some of the not-so-major ones. And now, back to the Texas Beer Experience podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to segment 2 of episode 32 of the Texas Beer Experience podcast. Once again, joined by Josh Bass and Josh Kahanek of Brazos Valley Brewing Company in Brenham, Texas. We're just going to call you guys JB and JK.
That works.
Yeah? That's perfect.
All right, JB and JK. So let's talk some beer. So when I first got here, and I saw this on a social media post earlier today, this is a brand new beer that you guys are putting out. It's called Jam Session. I don't know if you can see it on the video. It's a Session IPA, all Mosaic hops.
Mosaic and Comet hops.
Mosaic and Comet, man.
75-25 Mosaic.
75-25 Mosaic. It's super tasty. And it's a session, which, I mean, if you live in Texas, man, like, a session beer is just wonderful. You know, especially when it gets hot. Is this going to be a year-round beer?
No, that's our winter / spring seasonal. So
okay.
That'll be hitting the market in about a week.
Next week.
And then we'll have it in the market through, I guess, March.
Mm-hmm. Through March. So the spring next, break.
Yeah.
Spring break hits. This will be on the river, man. And I love, so one of the things I love about your brewery is you guys are all about music. So this one's called Jam Session. Mm-hmm. I love the one, the cans that say B-sides and rarities, which are always really good. Usually those are like bigger beers, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like barrel aged stuff.
It's going to more experimental styles, bigger beers, things like that. You'll notice some of the labels are getting a little bit upgraded this year.
Okay.
To represent the B side of a vinyl album.
All right.
You'll see that looking really cool with a Jamfest being the next beer that we do in that series.
Jamfest,
so, Jam which will be a double IPA. Ooh.
Yeah, very excited for that.
So there's a jam session, and now we're going to have a whole festival.
That's right, yeah.
Of jamming.
All right. Yeah.
So the B-sides, this coming year, the B-sides will be higher alcohol beers and or more fruit forward or more experimental styles, higher adjunct beers.
Yeah, okay.
And then our seasonals will be more in the traditional line of beer. So like last year our Helles Lager was part of the B-sides,
but we're rolling that into a
seasonal beer, and its B-side slot is going to get taken up by something that I can't remember.
The
I think it's
going to
be
pretty
a
much
key
all
lime
crushers.
Goza or something like that.
Yeah we're doing some fruited Gozas. Watermelon Ooh. Weather is our most popular, probably.
You guys have done that one in the past,
yeah,
right?
That one's probably always coming back because people just love that thing.
Yeah, I think I had that the last time I came here. Such a good beer.
And so, you know, we recognize that that's something people are gravitating towards, and so we're riding that and doing a few different takes on that with a couple of different styles of fruited Gozas. A coconut lime Goza following behind that. And in the wintertime, doing a grapefruit Goza. It's grapefruit season in the Rio Grande Valley. We're launching the Rio Grande this year. We're going to be selling beer down in the valley. It's going to be 75 degrees in December, so we're doing a grapefruit Goza.
Man, that sounds awesome.
It's not 85 degrees in December.
Yeah, it has been, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
crazy weather. Do you guys still do the peach beer? Millions of Peaches?
No, but we will have it on tap this summer in the tap room.
Yes.
We have a one-barrel pilot system. So, yes and no.
That's been a favorite.
We're not going to distribute it this year. Yep. We didn't distribute it last year.
Yeah.
But we will have it on tap. We didn't even brew it at all last year.
We sure do get lots of questions about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Millions of Peaches, yeah.
Yeah, and that's
I love that one, man.
That's kind of how I think a lot of breweries operate is... If something proves successful, if it's doing well for us, it'll come back in rotation in a couple of years. But people are always looking for new innovation, what's new and exciting. So if something's getting played out over 3 years in a row, it's time to refresh a little bit, get your wholesalers excited, get the retailers excited. They don't want to see the same seasonals from us every single year.
I mean, that's kind of what we're doing at Galveston Island. We're refreshing a lot of stuff. We have the flexibility to do a lot of different things. Now we can start doing some lagering, so we're really excited about that. Mm-hmm. We already played with a couple, so Josh, I do want to ask you about your brewing journey. Like how did you discover beer? What was your first beer? And when did you decide that this is what I want to do?
So I probably discovered beer maybe 14 or 15 years old in high school from my older brother and just being a high school kid.
Of course.
And we used to drink a lot of, light lager beer like every high school kid.
Yeah, American light lagers.
Yeah, the cheapest stuff you could get. And that carried through into college. But I distinctly remember the very first craft beer I ever had. I think I was 15 years old, and it was a Sam Adams, and it was the worst thing I'd ever tried. I could barely tolerate a Bud Light at that point. And to drink a Sam Adams back then, I was like, oh my
gosh. Do you remember? I don't know how old you are. I mean,
you're on episode 50. 32 podcast. So I'm older than that.
You're older than that.
I just turned 42
this
month. So
maybe this was
month.
Still around when you were in high school, but I remember in high school, because I used to work at Kroger. They used to sell this case of beer, and the case was just white, and it literally said in big letters, black letters, beer. That was it. And the cans were the same way. It was a white can that said beer on it. And I think it was like $12 for a case or something. And I remember drinking some of those. And it's funny because, like, in Houston, they have the beer can house.
Right.
And they actually have one of those cans in the beer can house. And I was like, look, they have that. And I actually saw that can at Fredonia in Nacogdoches. They have a wall of old beer cans, and that one's in there too.
That's so awesome. I never saw that, but I worked at Kroger as well in the produce section. So.
Yeah.
But no, I never saw that. And I even lived a few blocks from the beer can house at one point in my life.
Did you?
In the Heights, so.
But then you did Sam Adams, and you were like, yeah, this is the worst. So was it Boston Lager?
Yeah, it was the regular Boston Lager. Wow. And then, you know, tried Shiner Bock after that. And my brother was a huge Shiner Bock fan.
Yeah.
And he was probably 18 or 19 at that point when he was when I was tagging along. And then so reverted back to the Miller Lights, the Bud Lights, whatever.
Bud Ice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
The Penguins. Don't fear the Penguins.
That's right.
When we were in high school and shortly after graduation, that was our beer. And it was all about the commercials.
I know.
Commercials with the Penguins.
And the bottles that looked like Crystal Ice.
Why ask right? why? Right? Try Bud Dry. Remember that commercial?
I almost completely forgot about that one, man.
Red Dog. Those used to be
Red Dog.
The go-to, yeah, make you throw up type beers.
I remember the first time I tried MGD, I thought I was going to throw up.
Yeah. You know, we thought we were the coolest whenever we could actually finish a 40-ounce without throwing up. Mm-hmm. You know, like a 17, 18-year-old kid thinking that they were awesome because they were able to stomach 40 ounces of Old English.
Yeah, right? I mean,
malt liquor.
I would venture to say that I might not be able to stomach it now. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to try it now.
Unless you're paying me.
Right.
Listen, whoever makes that beer, whatever, if it's Old English, I don't know who brews that beer, but I'll do it if you pay me.
I think they were like $2 or $3 a bottle back then. It was like the best like price per ounce bargain you could get whenever you're saving your lunch money for alcohol. So.
Do you remember the Walgreens exclusive beer, Big Flats?
Big Flats.
I do, yeah.
Big Flats.
I do remember that.
It was Walgreens exclusive in like $3.99 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Like how long ago was that?
Oh, 10...
10 or 15 years.
15 years ago.
I remember seeing it in like 2006, 2007.
I was in college. It was like 15 years ago or something.
I was totally unaware of that one.
Yeah, that was my floating beer in San Marcos. Big Flats, yeah.
Floating beer for sure.
It's terrible.
So as we got older, when I was in college, still not old enough to drink, but me and my buddy Sammy, we would go to the grocery store with my brother, who was old enough.
Yeah.
And we'd stare at the beer and look at the imports and say, well, what do we want to do today? Do we want to drink quality or quantity? And we'd either get an import beer, Labatt Blue or something like that.
Yeah. The Coors Light of Canada.
Exactly. Right? Something we thought, you know, you're paying like $2 or $3 more for and only going to get a six pack or two. Or we just get like a 12 pack or 18 pack of, you know, Miller Lite or something like that. Yeah. So we progressed from there. And then we just maintained those similar type drinking habits where, depending on our mood, we were buying imports and or just drinking the domestics. Fast forward to after graduating and I'm working a day job as an engineer, my brother comes to my house one night with some Southern Star, Bombshell Blonde, and he's hey, check this out. And he brought some homebrew beer too that him and his, our buddy Nelson had brewed together. And they were like, we've been brewing beer. It's really cool, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's awesome. That tastes great. This is good beer.
Yeah, I actually had one today earlier for lunch.
And
there you go.
Yeah.
I had St. Arnold's long before that as well. I was drinking St. Arnold's lawnmower.
Oh, yeah.
That had become like a mainstay in my fridge at the time he brought the Bombshell over. But he was like, there's other breweries around. Isn't this cool? I was like, I never knew. Had no clue. I just knew St. Arnold's. And so they started brewing beer, and they got me into it. And I had an engineering background, so I was all about, like, just the process. And
yeah,
how can I take your homebrew system and make it better and build it better? And
that engineering mindset just started to go to work, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then as we kept homebrewing together, and I was traveling back and forth out of country for my engineering day job, came back at the end of a project a few years later, and they were like, we decided we're going to start a brewery. And I was like, cool, I want in on that. No clue what I was doing or what I was getting myself into. I was just following along my older brother like I'd always done. And back in 2013, when we were writing up the business plan, you could not have a tap room. You could do the tour.
The tour for tokens and stuff like that. Yeah, just like St. Arnold did for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you, as a brew pub, you could not sell into the distribution channels. You had to just sell your beer on site and have food. So it was like distribution brewery or a restaurant with a brewery attached. And we were like, we don't want to do a restaurant. We don't want any of that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a distribution brewery. Then after we launched, a few months later, the laws changed. And everything changed on its head. We're like, well, we're already committed, so our motto back then was too dumb to quit. And
too dumb to quit. I'm glad you were.
Yeah. So it just snowballed from, you know, as we were doing the business plan and looking at a distribution model, it was like, well, you have to have a larger system to get, you've got to do volume to make any sort of money.
Yeah.
Now tap rooms are awesome, and we have a tap room.
So. This tap room is beautiful. If you're watching the video, man, you can kind of see a little bit. Coming from where you guys came from before, which is kind of a mix indoor-outdoor kind of tap room that didn't have a lot of seating.
Yeah.
To this, now you have this. You have a really nice outside patio. You got a huge property in the back, and I think you guys are
big playground for the kids.
Big playground, live music all the time.
Right.
Great food trucks. I mean, just it's really cool to see where you guys came from to where you are now. And the other brewery is just down the street.
Right.
And I think I remember Josh Jay telling me that you guys are having to move your fermenters here via a forklift or something, like from the other brewery to here.
Well, no, we had to, the old brewery had 12-foot rafters.
Uh-huh.
So we needed to use a combination of, one of our regulars here loaned us his tractor that had forks on the end of it.
Right, okay.
So we had to do a little synchronized dance where we tilted it up with our forklift inside the brewery and picked the legs up with the tractor outside of the brewery and wheeled it into the street. Then we had to ride it, pick it up, and then we backed, we have a 16-foot utility trailer, so we picked it up and then I would just back under it with the trailer, set it down, strap it, and we moved one tank at a time over the course of the summer to get everything over here. So when we were planning the move, people were like, oh man, you're going to pay so much money to have a company come in here and rig all that up and move everything. And I was like, you're not familiar with us, are you? Like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm going to move every one of these tanks myself.
Yeah.
And they were like, are you kidding me? How are you going to do that? And I was like, well, I moved every single one of them in here myself. I'm going to move them out myself. But I was like, you don't understand. We can't just, like, stop the production and have zero beer, empty every single vessel, move it all up. You don't just, like, turn the light off. And
no, right. It's not just like I'm flipping a switch, right? It's,
so
it's a lot of work. I mean, I've seen that in Galveston with our new facility. That is, we've had to like shut down a little bit while we're transitioning stuff into the new building. So, yeah, man, it's a challenge. It's a challenge that people don't understand that.
We ramped up production 6 weeks before the move.
Yeah.
Filled up every single fermenter, filled up our cold room, and then we sold excess beer to our distributors on extended terms, knowing that we were going to have the brew house shut down. And then, so they loaded up on product. We loaded up on product. Then we shut the brew house down, and that was the first thing we moved. But once the brew house was shut down, every single fermenter was full. So as we packaged off beer, we'd empty the tank, wash it, and then move that tank.
Yeah.
So we moved everything over a two-month process as we were emptying tanks, and then tried to refire everything all at once because we didn't start brewing over here until the last fermenter was here because I didn't buy a second glycol chiller. So I had to wait until the glycol chiller was done over there. It almost worked out perfect.
And when was that? Right before the world shut down, huh?
Yeah, that was...
pretty close.
That was... we started that Memorial weekend of 2019 is when we started moving.
Yeah, so right there.
And then we started brewing in this facility.
6 months before it started going into a shitstorm.
Awesome.
In July of 2019. And then the very first full truckload of beer going to Austin... the driver wrecked, laid the truck over.
I remember
lost
that.
Lost all of it.
Yeah.
The 290 sign on our stage is the one that the truck took out when he rolled it.
I don't know. That's cool.
Do you really want a painful reminder all the time, cool. man?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's wild. Like, how did you, I mean, obviously you recovered from that, like, but man, that had to be frustrating.
Oh, it was. It was frustrating. Gosh. There were so many startup issues.
Like, yeah. I remember that because I was working at a brewery that used the same distributor because I think they were coming the next day to pick up beer from us and they couldn't because they lost their truck.
That truck sat at a little tow yard down 290 from here for months. I'd see it every time I'd drive by there.
Still have cans of beer in it?
Probably not.
No? Well, so were you able to recover any of the beer from that?
No.
No?
It was all gone.
Damn. Wait, did people like stop and like pick it up and put it in their cars?
I don't know. I wasn't there on the scene. There were some other employees that did go up there.
Yeah.
But I think the state troopers had it all cordoned off.
No.
But I do know that some of the draft beer was definitely donated to some DPS officers.
I bet there's some nice garages with keezers and kegerators with some good Brazos Valley beer, huh? Yeah, that's funny, man. Hey, is there another beer over there that I can try?
Yes.
All right,
here
we go.
Hazy.
The hazy does it.
Yes, the recently recalculated, and I think perfectly
that
dialed.
That one's got your name on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at JK's beer, and I was like, man, that looks really good.
It is
Thank
really
you.
Good.
So that is Sabro, Simcoe, and Citra hops.
So
I'll really catch
pineapple, coconut.
Little orange.
Little orange, yeah. Oh, man, that smells delicious.
Very, very tropical
nose of
fruit
of
flavor.
A tiki cocktail, you know?
Mm.
It's really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Isn't that great?
That's really nice.
I brought that out because we were canning it last week, and I was trying it. I'm not a big hazy IPA fan. And I tried it, and I was like, damn, that's good. That's real good.
I really love this.
I tried another, and I was like, man, that we just changed that hop. We swapped the Simcoe and Mosaic hop out, so it's now got Simcoe in it. And I was like, that's where it needs to be.
A much better fit.
Great mouthfeel to it. Flavor's amazing. Nose is really good. I mean, you guys nailed it. This is really nice.
Yeah, that's terrific. I think it's dialed right now.
And I'm just like you. I don't really care for hazies that much unless they're really well done, and this is a well-done hazy.
We're all on the same boat.
I appreciate it.
I grew up on beautiful, pretty... see through the glass IPAs,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was an old man yelling at the clouds for a couple of years while all these.
I was there even more than a couple of years. I mean, we didn't release a hazy to the market until last year.
Yeah, middle of
We had attempted some, and they never really hit the mark.
You know, even if you're not a fan of it, you have to because that's what the market wants, you know. And
absolutely.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Exactly.
It's just funny. When I first started in beer, if I put out an IPA that looked like that, I would get a phone call that we got to come pick that keg up.
I know, right?
And now that's all anybody
wants. It's like, hey, your beer's messed up, dude. Yeah. Come get it.
but
if it pours clear, they're like, is something wrong with that beer? Your IPA is like.
I was at a brewery. I'm not going to say who it was, but they served me a hazy. And I could see through it. I was like, I don't think you know what's going on.
See, we made some like that. And I was like, that's not a hazy.
Yeah.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, and there's different levels of hazy. So, like, this is kind of like, I feel like this is, like, right in the middle of, like, the hazy beers I've seen. So, like, there's some that are, like, really opaque, and you can tell there's some like, thickness to them. And there's some that have some haze, but you can still kind of see through them. So kind of like Sierra Nevada's Hazy Little Thing is a little bit like that. And that's a great hazy.
That's a great one.
Yeah. But however you guys, you know, whatever color it is, I've seen all levels. You can really make a great beer that tastes great, smells good, and... Man.
Well, you got into the spectrum, right? You got like Sierra Nevada making Hazy Little Thing that's obviously made by a larger brewery that's supposed to be more shelf stable.
Correct.
You know, and they're world class. So it's going to taste the same when you buy it 90 days from now.
Right.
And that's why it looks a little less hazy. And then you got some local breweries that are coming out with really hype for. Kind of
amount of dry hopping,
those 6 pounds a barrel or something like that.
Sometimes even more than that.
Yeah.
I've heard some insane numbers. I'm like, that's probably why like other like bigger breweries like Sierra Nevada, they don't do that much dry hopping because it costs a lot of money. And so,
at that point,
I don't know. Like,
at that point, it's not very cost efficient. I mean, you can achieve the same flavor profile.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's definitely a point of diminishing returns when it comes to dry hopping.
Definitely.
Some breweries and brewers may claim otherwise, but I think there's a limit to what you're going to get. And at like 9-10 pounds a barrel, I think all you're doing is creating unnecessary losses for yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that, man. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a couple of breweries I've worked for, you know, especially in Galveston, like I know that our dry hopping schedule is not insane. I mean, our hazies look like this, right? And they taste good, and
I think that's what they're supposed to look like. I've seen some that are nice and orange. I attribute that to the different malts they use in it.
True, yes.
Because that's just a Pilsner base malt with some
flaked oats.
Malted oats.
Malted oats. Yeah.
And that's it. Malted oats and Pilsner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and honestly, you don't really have to go beyond that. But you're right. Some people do use, I think I've heard somebody using a little bit of like crystal to get that kind of like orange hue.
Right.
In the color, but you don't need to. This is perfect.
That's all I'm looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. This is perfect. I did ask you guys about hobbies. One of the reasons I like doing this podcast and share it to the world is like everybody knows about the breweries and the beer, but nobody really knows like the people. Like, are they normal like me?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so that's something new that I've been asking people. Like, what are your hobbies? Like last week we had I was at Misfit Outpost out in Cyprus, and Sarah Nadim, she's a craft beer influencer. She's into horror movies, and so we talked about her horror movie. Expertise, and so that was a lot of fun. I kind of like horror movies too, but I don't know. What do you guys do on your off time that's like not necessarily beer related?
Oh man, well my if I'm not selling beer, I'm still doing beer related things, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But you know, it's things that tie really well to beer. You know, I'm a big time. I love trail running. I run with my dog at the park every morning.
Nice.
Disc golf. If I'm not selling beer, I'm disc golfing. Disc golf and beer go hand in hand as well.
So our head brewer was a professional disc golf player, and he is
too cool.
His name is Jason Stromberg, and He told me, like, there's like disc golf players that make millions of dollars. I'm like, are you kidding me?
It's a new thing.
It's like they're like professional athletes that have like endorsement deals and they have their own television network. Like, are you kidding me? Like, disc golf? Like, for real?
I've been doing it a few years now. And when I first started throwing disc golf, it was just, you know, my house backs up to a really cool green space that has a disc golf park in it. And I moved to Austin. I was selling beer and I picked up disc golf. And, and it was just, you know, your local burnouts throwing frisbees in the woods. And that's what I thought. That's all I thought it was, you know? But then you realize that there's like high level athletes out there that are seriously making $1 million contracts.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Because like that was my idea. I was like, so I have a good friend named Kent Bray.
Yeah.
And he's like a casual like disc golfer guy. He has like a Facebook group where he disc golfs with other people that work in beer. So I just thought it's just like just a fun thing for people to do, go out and throw a frisbee and drink beer and just hang out.
Yeah.
But come to find out, man, it's like
they do go hand in hand. And there are even a couple of breweries that have great disc golf courses out at their spot. You know, Live Oak Brewery, you know, is doing a terrific job. And they host putting leagues and things like that.
Putting, so there's like a putting league for disc golf. It's like, all right, so like how far do you have to throw a disc?
Oh, it's too cool.
In putting.
Yeah, they set up like little like 100-foot shots to, you know, 50-foot shots, and you go 9 holes just as you would in a game, in a round of golf. You know, you got your 4 card, and you know, they've also got one of the best Hefeweizens in the world. So
if that, not the best, I know it's been graded as the best a few times. So yeah, that's a definitely a great hefe.
And they've got the space for it, and it's too cool. I know there's Anderson Valley does it as well.
Anderson Valley has a disc golf course.
Anderson Valley has a disc golf course.
Nice. I think Spindletap put out a little mini course out in their place.
Oh,
also.
Really?
Yeah.
We talked about trying to put one out in the on the back half of our property.
Yeah, I've pushed for one out there.
You have room for a few baskets for sure.
Yeah, we could do 3 or 4 probably.
Yeah. We'll see if we bring that into fruition.
We need some more trees to make it real good, but we do have some water obstacles.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there's
when I was younger, we lost quite a few disc in the we used to play at the Eleanor Tinsley Park in Houston.
Right, yeah.
Cool course there. Just quite a few water hazards off the bayou that lost quite a few discs.
Is there like a job for like teenagers, the same as like for golfers, to go looking for lost discs at the bottom of
oh, no way.
Of ponds or anything, and then resell them back to the disc golfers?
No. Disc golf is the craft beer of the golf game. All right, there's not enough money in it yet. the Budweiser of the world is
you go
right.
with a stick
golf,
and find your own disc in that in the bayou.
Yeah, I just remember one of your buddies to hold your legs while you're like, you know, digging in the creek.
I just remember growing up, I mean, we had friends that lived close to golf courses, and they would go out there in the woods or in the water hazards or whatever, pick up golf courses and go to the pro shop and like, hey, we have 50 golf balls, give me $20 or whatever. Yeah.
When I was in San Antonio, I was working at Ranger Creek Brewing in my early days, and I had an apartment that backed up to an 18-hole, really nice manicured golf course, but my patio just opened up to the 18th green. And so me and my dog, when I was a bachelor at the time, me and my dog would just go out there and play night golf and just pick up golf balls all day. And then I'd take them to the pro shop the next morning and they'd reimburse me, sometimes with just a couple of pints of beer or something.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just clean it up for them.
Yeah, it was great.
That's perfect. I'll take a couple of pints of beer for a few golf balls.
I used to play disc golf. Now, and I'll get back into it again, but now that I've got kids, we take them camping all the time. Still have my disc golfs. They try to play frisbee with them, and they're like, "These hurt. Why are they so heavy?"
That's something else I didn't know until like a year ago, where somebody showed me a disc golf, a disc, and I was like, "Oh, this is really different.
Yeah,
like, it's got some weight to it."
Yeah, it'll hurt.
Try throwing that at a 6-year-old. They don't
CPS
like playing
coming to your
that.
Door the next day is like, "Sir, we heard that you've been throwing disc golfs at your kids."
But we like to take them. We like to take the kids camping down to the beach, get them outdoors, ride bikes through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I just, my six-year-old middle child, she just learned to ride her bike without training wheels, so she's rip-roaring through the neighborhood now, all about it.
Such a great feeling, right? When you first learn how to ride a bike without the training wheels, it's like, I remember that too, man. Like,
I know, I did it last week.
It was cool. And when you, when they've been on the training wheels for so long and like so many times riding through the either campgrounds or through the neighborhood, and the annoying noise those training wheels make, they're so loud. To finally get her off the training wheels where she can ride her bike with us, and she's going long distances too.
Nice.
It's just such a nice feeling. It's like, finally, got one more. He's not even quite, he's two, so he's got a ways before he starts learning no training wheels. But yeah, just doing a lot of kids' activities.
Just being a dad, good dad. That's
being
awesome.
A dad, taking them camping, getting them hiking, things like that. So
fantastic.
Those are now my new hobbies.
I like that. I mean, those were kind of my hobbies for a while too, with our kid growing up. So, and we still like to go camping anyway. But it's not the same now. She's 21 and she drinks beer.
There you go.
But anyway, we're gonna take one more quick break and come back and finish up this great episode with JB and JK. Stay tuned. What's the best way to enjoy beer? Well, after years of extensive research, I have discovered that the best way to enjoy beer is with good friends, and there may not be a better group of friends than the Texas Beer Collective Facebook group. If beer and friends sounds like a winning combination, come join the Texas Beer Collective, the official Facebook group of the Texas Beer Experience podcast. You can find us by doing a Facebook search for the group or by following the link in the show notes. Follow the Texas Beer Experience blog and podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Did you miss an episode? All episodes are available on all the major podcast platforms and even some of the not-so-major ones. And now, back to the Texas Beer Experience podcast. Welcome back. Last segment with our friends at Brazos Valley. Josh Bass, also known as JB. Josh Kahanek, JK. So, I told you guys earlier that I have my guests answer a couple of questions at the end of the show. And so you've had some time to think about it. So we like going on road trips. We like going camping. So like you take your kids camping, Josh, JB.
Yep.
We like going camping. When you go camping, like what's the thing that makes it an official road trip / camping trip?
It's gotta be the barbecue. The barbecue.
Barbecue.
Grilling out over the campfire or the fire pit.
So actually cooking, not stopping at somewhere to pick up barbecue.
Yeah. No, it's to make that actually a camp cooking. Trip, yeah. It's gotta be cooking over the fire, the open fire.
What do you like to cook the most on a camp trip?
I like to cook steaks.
But, steaks. Oh yeah.
Hamburgers. We do hamburgers and hot dogs a lot.
Yeah.
And then the kids will eat that. Me and my wife will cook steaks.
Man.
We.
That's a good idea. I like that.
We'll also do like brats a lot. And chicken, but mostly steaks.
Yeah. Is there a favorite cut? Like porterhouse, ribeye?
Always tenderloin.
Tenderloin? Yeah. Okay.
Although we went, it depends on what we can find too. Like sometimes we'll just get the thin, cheap New York strip or whatever we can.
Yeah.
We were in Arkansas in 2020 during the pandemic, and we just hit the road and went camping. Spent 2 weeks visiting state parks in Arkansas, and we had gone to Walmart or somewhere, bought some steaks. And then we left them sitting out on the table in the sun to thaw. We were going to cook them that evening. We went down to the lake, hung out for a little bit. We came back, squirrels had ripped into it and ran off with our steaks. So,
man, those squirrels were eating good that night.
That night we had like salad and probably chicken nuggets.
Salad and chicken nuggets.
Yeah, we ended up eating the kids' food. We had our salad and then we had chicken nuggets.
I feel bad for you, man. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
But yeah, cooking over the grill, cooking over the open flame is what makes a camping trip.
And I thought you were going to say bears came and attacked our campsite.
No.
Ate our steaks.
No bears, thankfully.
Yeah, right. My wife hates bears. Well, not, she doesn't hate them, but she's like really afraid of them. I like telling the story. So a few years ago, we were doing a family reunion in Colorado. And everybody had kind of pitched in to rent this really, really nice Airbnb. It was a super huge house that was on a mountain. And it was in Breckenridge. And there was a hot tub outside. So we were all hanging out in the hot tub. And I know my wife is going to yell at me because she writes the show notes for the podcast. She's like, why do you tell people that story? So we were all sitting in the hot tub and somebody said, hey, somebody just saw a bear, you know, behind the house. I've never seen my wife move so fast.
Yeah, man.
She jumped out of the hot tub and ran inside.
We don't
the
have
house.
Predators in Texas, man. We don't.
Was there a legit bear?
I never saw it. Like, and I was like, oh man, really? I want to see one. That sounds cool. And I've seen bears. Like, we go to Big Bend fairly frequently, and we've seen like black bears out there, and apparently this was a grizzly, which, you know, yeah, you probably have a good reason to be scared.
Yeah, exactly.
The Big Bend bears are cuddly.
They're a little bit smaller. I mean, they can still hurt you for sure, but yeah, grizzly bear, man. I mean, those things, when they stand up, I mean, they're just like they're ginormous and they can just rip you.
We did a summer
pretty
trip,
quickly
family reunion trip to Steamboat, Colorado, Steamboat Springs.
Right. Cool.
Did the same thing, rented an Airbnb and had the whole family come and stay.
Yeah.
That was a good trip. Did that 2 years ago.
I miss Colorado. Are you guys going to GABF this year?
We should.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Haven't thought about it yet.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope we go. It's been a fun trip.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Let's see. We didn't participate last year, but we did participate in 2019.
Okay.
So I believe that was the last time we were there.
I went a few years in a row, and it's always a blast.
Oh, yeah.
But what I enjoy more than anything is the activities outside of the...
Right. I always say, like, the first year I went, like, somebody told me, like, you have to do the conference, like, the, you know, in the convention center at least once.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, to me, it's a lot. Like, I got fucking trashed.
Get your Nuclear samples and whatever.
Right,
you know?
Right,
And then go to Deschutes and enjoy their party that they're putting on with cool bands.
So the second year that we went, we did a lot of, like, brewery hopping.
Yeah.
Went to a lot of different parties that were hosted by breweries. That was a lot of fun. But, yeah, Colorado, man, I love going up there. It's a good trip every year.
Absolutely.
Every year. I haven't been in a couple years, but... And Josh, or JK, so what about you? What's your road trip essential?
Oh, man. So I do I've done a lot of these long trips. A road trip essential might just be befriending the local crazy person.
Befriending the local crazy person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, do you seek this out?
Absolutely.
Yes?
I love hanging out with weird people.
Yeah,
absolutely. If you're driving and traveling as much as I do alone, you want to belly up to a bar and make friends with whoever the eccentric weirdo is and get to know them, because they're going to be the most fun to talk to. I know enough boring people. Befriend the local crazy
enough boring
person.
People that have podcasts and just ask you dumb questions.
If you're able to do a roadside stop or you're allowed to camp there overnight, that's where the best crazy people are. Real serious crazy people are there. That's the best. But just bellying up at a bar and meeting the local eccentric and hanging out with that guy is the essential road trip kind of thing.
Sandy, can you share maybe a good story?
Sure. Yeah, I could think of one. We were coming in from an elk hunt in Colorado. We drove. We didn't, for some reason, realize how terrible of an idea it was to drive a straight shot from northern Colorado all the way back down into Austin. And we were coming back down after being skunked on an elk hunt, and we found this really cool rest stop in northern New Mexico around a couple of old volcanoes, actually, in New Mexico. And you can camp out in these rest stops and grill food and grill steaks and whatnot. And this absolutely insane New Mexico native, like he just goes out there to hang out and camp out there in his camper with him and his wife, accosted us in this parking lot. Okay. And found out that we were both brewery guys. He's into beer. You know, we set him up with a couple of beers. He somehow conned us into cooking him a steak for the evening.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy's got some talent.
Yeah, we cooked him a steak. He hung out with us. We got to know about him. We got to know about his grandson that sucks, who he really despises. We got to know everything, you know. We got to know a little bit about northern New Mexico, north of Santa Fe, really cool, beautiful area. I love the high desert. And so we're hanging out, looking at a volcano in New Mexico, looking at antelope. We were drinking La Cumbre. We were drinking delicious IPAs. I had to use a sock as a koozie because it was so cold outside. And I'm talking to a crazy man about how much he despises his grandson. And it was just like, that's as good as a road trip gets. That's as good as it gets.
All right, man, that's got to be one of the most unique answers we've ever gotten on our road trip question. Talk to the local crazy guy.
Yeah.
All right. I might do that sometimes. I like talking to people, and you never know.
Befriend your local crazy guy.
Yeah.
Would you say your uncle fits that category for people that road trip out
My
here?
My uncle's a local crazy guy.
He's known to hang out at the bar here, and he's a wild guy.
He's a wild guy.
Yeah. Right. He's recently moved to Brenham.
So now he's a Brenham. He's local crazy guy.
He is the local crazy now, and he hangs out at the tap room a good bit.
Yeah.
If we're having a very serious meeting where I've developed like a 30 slide. PowerPoint or something where we're talking about what we're doing for the day. He's probably at the bar,
waving through the windows.
Yeah. My uncle's the local crazy guy.
I love that.
And you should befriend him.
He's been visiting the brewery since the old place, the olden days too. Yeah. So,
you're going to have a good time.
We've got some stories to tell from that guy.
That'll be the next time we come and do a podcast. We'll have to invite him.
Yeah,
Josh's crazy uncle story. So we'll definitely have him on the show.
Yeah, we'll get Uncle Mark in on the next one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, buckle up.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Last question that we always ask our guests, the tough question. Whoever wants to go first is, if today was your last day on Earth, what's the beer that you're drinking?
Oh, damn, I forgot you were going to ask that. You asked this earlier, and I was thinking maybe if it was just, if I had to just pick a beer style.
It has to be one beer.
Just one.
It can't be a style.
Just
it has
one.
To be a beer, like one.
One brand, right?
One brand.
And one pint.
Not necessarily one pint. If you want to drink a half barrel of this delicious beer that you're going to have on your last day on Earth, you can drink a whole half barrel.
I think it might be Sisyphus, Real Ale Sisyphus, barley wine.
That barley wine is fantastic, man.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I think that's a good pick. Nobody has picked a barley wine yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm kind of a barley wine fan.
Yeah. We talked about barley wines off air earlier.
Yeah, I can't wait for us to do one.
Yeah, that's a great one. And would it just be one bomber or one pint, or How much would you do?
Well, if I get to make the
rules. Do you
rules,
want to feel anything at the end?
Yeah, a six barrel, man. Yeah.
A six barrel. A six barrel of Sisyphus.
Yeah, yeah. Let me hang out on my desert
and how
island
old and just, does it have to be? Does it have to be?
Oh, 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I got to do the my birthday and my cousin. We both share a birthday somehow. And it also always coincides with Real Ale having their anniversary party.
Nice.
And so Real Ale has this vertical of Sisyphus, and we'll get to try 5 year, 4 year, 3 year Sisyphus. You know,
some, and 4 years is the one that hits the mark.
Somehow our drink tickets never run out.
I wonder how that happens.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah, and Sisyphus is the one. Yeah.
All right. That's a solid choice.
Oh yeah.
First barley wine that anybody's ever picked. I like that.
Happy to be the one.
Thanks, JK. Yeah. Thank you. JB?
So let's see. It's my last day, not everyone else's, right? So
I mean, however you want to play it, it could be the earth-killing asteroids coming, and it's everybody's last day, or it's like your last day on your deathbed. However you want to play it out, it doesn't matter.
And we're not making snake bites and blends, right? It's just got to be one
beer. It's got to be one beer, one beer.
So I'm going to go for quantity and quality.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with one of our lagers, our Raise a Little Helles, German Helles lager.
Yeah.
That way I can drink that from sun up till whenever it ends.
Good choice.
Yeah. And so if they say, you get up at 6 a.m. and say, there's going to be an asteroid that comes here at midnight tonight, mm-hmm. you're going to start drinking.
I'm going to start that.
The Helles.
And I'm not going to stop until I pass out or the asteroid
hits. Or the asteroid hits.
So a couple half barrels maybe?
Oh, baby, that's like 300 pints.
Yeah. I'm going to try.
Yeah. Man, that's ballsy. You're going to have to definitely like chug some of that.
Because, I mean, what else am I going to do? Like cut the grass and check my investment accounts? Like, who cares?
That's it. I like that. I like that question. And I can't believe I didn't bring this up, but we refilled our beers during the break. And I'm almost finished with this. This is a fantastic.
See, and I thought about picking the Gringo Honeymoon, but it's a nice amber malty. It's just a delicious amber lager.
Gringo Honeymoon, Mexican lager. Man. And I've had this before, and I think I told you this off air. This is better than the first time I had mm-hmm. it. You guys did something
it's
different.
Great this
it's
year.
Really, really nice.
Compared to last year's release, which I say last year as the 2020 release, not 2021, because we're in January.
Yeah.
So, and this beer was brewed in 2021. But the one you had before most likely was the 2020 version.
Yeah, definitely.
And I lightened it up a little bit to make it a more easy drinking. Mm-hmm. It was just a little bit too much. The body was too big, too heavy.
I felt it was too.
For what we were,
yeah.
for what I was going for.
Yeah. This is perfect, man. Highly recommend this. And can you find this in stores also?
You should be able to find six packs all over Houston, Austin, right now.
Gringo Honeymoon, okay.
Any of your big HEBs, any of your big specs, Whole Foods, hopefully we'll have it, yeah.
Go find it.
And that's this is the end of it, though. It'll be gone until the end of this year.
This is the end of it.
We'll
still have it here at the tap room, but
we do plan on doing it again next year.
Yeah,
good.
Well, now 2022, this year.
Yeah.
So is this like a seasonal that you guys do?
Yeah, it's our winter seasonal.
Nice.
So end of the year, I think November is on the calendar for it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, another batch in November 2022.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm down for it. I'm going to go pick up a six-pack of the current one. This is really good. Really, really good. Guys, thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
I've had a great time.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a blast.
And last thing, so like, when are you guys open? When can people come visit the tap room?
Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday. Okay.
So we're open Wednesdays 3 to 9.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thursdays 3 to 9. Fridays, noon to 10. Saturday, noon to 10. Sunday, noon to 8.
Okay.
Kind of all over the map, but there's a little consistency.
And make the trip. It's really cool. You're not.
Yeah, yeah. Where you, if you're coming from College Station, from Austin, yeah. from Houston, it's not that far of a drive. Yeah. An hour and a half, 2 hours at the most. It's a great spot. You guys have really nice outdoor seating. You guys do live bands. Great food with food trucks throughout the week. Or do you guys have the food trucks here during the week or just the weekends?
Food trucks just the weekends.
Yeah.
During the week, we do... Well, I'll take that back. On Wednesdays, we do our own pizzas, pretzels. Okay. We've got we have pretzels that we always do with beer, cheese.
Ooh.
We have nachos with shredded chicken or ground beef, just various toppings for it.
Yep.
And then we have food trucks on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But even when we have food trucks, we still do the pretzels. And we still do the nachos.
I had the pretzel last time I was here. It was really good.
So.
Yeah.
And those pretzels come from Craftsman Bakery in the Heights.
Nice.
And you know, we heat them up, dress them with the butter and the salt, and then we make the beer cheese here.
Good quality stuff. So, good food, great beer. Always a great time to hang out here at Brazos Valley. You guys come hang out. This is a great spot. Thank you for listening to the show. Guys, thank you again for having us. If you are listening to the show and you haven't subscribed yet, we'd love for you to subscribe. Leave us a comment. You can actually email me, Leo@TexasBeerExperience.com. I'm sorry, I've had a few beers. let me know what you think about the show, how we can improve it, how we should not change anything about it. We'd love listener feedback. You can listen to us on all the major podcast platforms and see even some of the ones that you don't know, that a lot of people don't know about. So check out the website, TexasBeerExperience.com. We have some great blog posts on there as well as our shop with some great t-shirts and hats. And stay tuned for next week. Next week's episode, we're taking a little road trip out to Fredericksburg and we'll have All Stop Brewing on the show. So stay tuned for that. Other than that, have a great weekend and go drink some more Texas beer. Have a great one. Cheers.
Cheers.